I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Kenya Railways Museum. But we are not talking about railways. We are talking about African Airlines. This is a subject that deserves attention because immediately after many countries regained their independence, air transport became a focal point. And it is noteworthy that the earliest airlines to be founded in the continent of Africa were those which were from countries which were not colonized. And Ethiopian Airlines becomes iconic in this regard. Founded in the mid-1940s, the airline continues to be the strongest airline in the continent of Africa. Of course, it cannot be denied that countries such as Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia, and of course the then apartheid South Africa also had their airlines. But in order to appreciate the air travel environment or ecosystem in the continent of Africa, it must be understood in the context of the realities of many African countries and what can be described as national pride. If one looks at the continent from a regional perspective, and we start as we possibly can with East Africa, immediately after the three major and founding East African countries regained their independence, they did so. And the airline that occupied pride of place was the East African Airways, then operating under the aegis of United East Africa, united in the sense that these countries were operating under the East African Community. But when the community collapsed in 1977, prior to its revival in the 1990s, the airline was doing very well. But no sooner had the airline collapsed, then the individual countries started looking at national airlines as a source of pride. So that as we speak today, we have Kenya Airways, which is loss-making. We have Ugandan Airways, which is loss-making. We have Tanzanian Airlines, which is loss-making. Of course, with the expansion of the East African Community, we now do have airlines such as Burundi or Rwanda, all of which are struggling to operate in one of the most difficult ecosystems anywhere in the world. In the southern part of Africa in the 1980s, and even prior to that, the South African Airways was a dominant airline. And indeed, countries such as Zambia had their airline, Malawi had one, Namibia had one, Mozambique had one, and of course, Angola's is still operating. But all these airlines meet headwinds. In West Africa, we have Air Cote d'Ivoire, Nigeria tried to have the airline, but those two did not go very far. And ultimately, of course, in the north, Egypt Air and Air Maroc have remained dominant airlines. But one must interrogate the reason why African airlines don't do very well. They don't do very well for a number of reasons. Number one, the number of travelers, what one may describe as barriers that are occasioned by fidelity to sovereignty. If you look at the continent of Africa, movement from one country to the other is still obstructed by visa requirements. And not only the visa requirements, it is also the reality that incomes in Africa are so low that those who travel do so either as business people, and even that business is not intra-African business. And within the continent, therefore, it is not the preferred mode of travel. The other reason why African airlines don't do very well is the cost of air travel. And this is an egg-chicken situation, that people don't travel because the cost is high, and the cost is high because people don't travel. It is a paradox that must be unraveled. And there was an attempt to deal with this particular situation in 1988 in La Côte d'Ivoire under the Yamoussoukro Agreement. Under the Yamoussoukro Agreement, ministers in charge of air travel or aviation met and agreed that the situation of air travel can only be dealt with if there is greater cooperation and greater coordination. Of course, after that meeting, not much happened, and another meeting was once again convened in 1999. That did not take the agenda as far as one would have desired. The Yamoussoukro Declaration was adopted in the year 2000 in Lomé, in Togo, and it was adopted by the African Union in 2018 so that the airspace in Africa becomes a single space. But what is written on paper and with ink does not always translate into reality. So we are dealing with an Africa that finds ourselves in a position where air travel is still dominated from outside. And if you examine each one of these airlines that we are talking about, particularly the major ones, saving Ethiopia, which is 100% government owned and therefore continues to run paradoxically and ironically very well and does make profit of all the African airlines and indeed in the world is considered as one of the most successful airlines. You look at the other airlines and permit me to look at a few of them. Look at Kenya Airways. Kenya Airways entered into an arrangement with the Royal Dutch Airline. That collaboration gave Kenya Airways the shorthand of the stick, and ultimately Kenya Airways remains in doldrums. There was an allegation, some of us said, that in the year 2004 they made profit, but they went back to default mode, and they are now in debt once again. South African Airways, which used to do very well, has now once again found herself in difficulties. And there was an attempt to midwife a relationship between South African Airlines and Kenya Airways, but that was dead on arrival. And of course, Nigeria, which is the largest country in terms of population and whose citizens travel perhaps more than anybody else in the continent of Africa, have not succeeded in creating a successful airline. Of course, I know that there is Air Peace, which does very well, but this is a private enterprise. Air Ebom, which is struggling. Air Maroc continues to do well, but when one looks at Air Maroc, its target is not necessarily the continent of Africa. It looks at the Mediterranean region and Southern Europe. Egypt Air, of course, is large, and Egypt succeeds because Egypt receives perhaps the largest number of tourists of any country in the continent of Africa, in excess of 20 million tourists every year. So that the story of African Airlines is a story of missed opportunities. In the recent past, there has been an attempt to ensure that there are collaborations, and Ethiopian Airlines, to her credit, has entered into arrangements with various airlines. For example, Air Malawi is now in collaboration with Ethiopian Airlines. Askai, which is based in Lomé, Togo, also has a very prominent Ethiopian airline presence. And Ethiopian Airlines has done something that no other African airline has done. Number one, they can overhaul aircraft in Addis Ababa. Number two, they have an aviation university in Addis Ababa. Number three, they now run the largest hotel in the continent of Africa, 1,024 rooms, so that in the event that there are layovers, it is an integrated ecosystem. Ethiopian Airlines therefore stands out as the airline to be emulated. Rwanda has now entered into an arrangement with Air Qatar, and indeed 45 minutes outside of Kigali, a new airport is being built. And one assumes that with that arrangement, then it will be possible for Air Rwanda to move into a different orbit in terms of profitability and sustainability. But the overall picture is one that we know about. But unfortunately, like many African initiatives, we do not carry the agenda as far as we should. But let us be positive about it. In the context of Africa Agenda 2063, in the context of Africa Continental Free Trade Area, and in the context of increased trade within the continent of Africa, removing tariff and non-tariff barriers, in order to give impetus to air travel and use of air transport for both goods and persons in the continent of Africa, this is the time to give pride of place to the Yamoussoukro declarations. Yamoussoukro's agenda was to ensure that we create an environment such as exists in Europe, exists in North America, and also exists in Asia, where an aircraft originating from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, can move from Banjul in the Gambia, and it is treated as a domestic flight. Equally, an aircraft that is moving from Cape Town in South Africa to Tunis in Tunisia would be treated as if it were domestic. And if this were done, a number of things would happen. Number one, the cost of air travel will reduce dramatically. And when it reduces dramatically, many Africans would be traveling. And it is not only traveling by person that is significant in this regard. It is the haulage of goods. Look at DHL, which is the German post and which is dominant in the continent of Africa. If we were to change the narrative and to ensure that we implement Yamoussoukro, the person who is exporting tea from Nairobi in Kenya to Accra in Ghana or Cork or vice versa would use air transport. Somebody who is sending packages would do so, and what DHL is doing would be done by African Airlines. So beyond the lamentation of the current status of air travel in the continent of Africa, when I look at the future, I see a bright future. But that bright future demands, among other things, that we ensure that we give practical meaning to the declarations initiated in Yamoussoukro in 1988, strengthened in the same Yamoussoukro in 1999, given impetus in Lomé, Togo in the year 2000, and of course, given a declaratory form in the year 2018 by the African Union. If this is done and done well, then we will begin to write a totally different story, and the African skies will not be considered the dark skies as they are considered today. And look at the population of the continent of Africa. 1.4 billion. Put money in their hands. Encourage them to be adventurous. Allow them to trade. And ensure that they are trading across the continent and outside of the continent. Very easily, air travel is going to be the preferred mode of travel, particularly in light of the insecurities that continue to bedevil the continent of Africa and makes both rail and road transport very difficult. So one sees a bright future for air travel in the continent of Africa, and one can dare say, long live Yamoussoukro, to the extent that it sets the agenda and creates the path for air travel and air aviation in the continent of Africa. Thank you very much. We are talking about Africa and the issues that surround her, and we take a break to resume during the next session. Thank you very much.